Our second reading this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 26. And then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it was now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised up alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that can never be." But Jesus didn't swerve. "Peter, get out of my way, Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." And then Jesus went on to work on his disciples. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want, but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for?" Here ends our scripture reading. Maybe we be aware of God's presence as we delve a bit deeper into the text in Matthew 16. I don't know whether the story is true, but I like it. I've used it for many years. It's a story about a veteran of the United States pilot. And after the war, he met a fellow in Hong Kong who told him, and that was after the Second World War, that he had indeed been a kamikaze pilot in World War II. "War all over now," he said. "Now we can be friends. My name is Chow Main." The American smiled. "Hey, come on now, Chow Main. That cannot be the truth. Kamikaze flyers were suicide pilots, remember? If you really had been one, you would be dead now." So the former kamikaze smiled sadly and confessed, "Well, yeah, my real name now is Chicken Chow Mein." Well, it could be that many of us turn out to be just a wee bit chicken ourselves, especially when it comes to our Christian faith. How many times have we decided to fulfill lofty ideals, to climb high mountains, to stick to our diets, to fulfill our promises, and never seem to get around to it? History tells the story of many great, noble-minded and worthwhile actions and deeds that started out for the tremendous good of humankind, but later simply fizzled out with sad effects for all involved. Remember, 40 years after the historic "I Have a Dream" speech of Martin Luther King, a much smaller crowd again marched on Washington, prompting Colin Powell's speech of the same on the same steps, saying, "Today we need to reawaken the dream. Today we need to rededicate ourselves anew to the dream." And several inspired speakers pleaded with the crowd not to turn chicken, but to unite once again in the fair struggle for justice and for peace. You see, for many people, "I have a dream" sadly became, "Well, I had a dream." Today's scripture reading, Jesus dealt with a similar situation. Jesus was now underway to Jerusalem, where Gethsemane and Calvary awaited. And that is exactly not what his closest followers wanted, so they loudly protested. And until then, they had actually expected that Jesus would come to some form of earthly power and that they would hold positions of stature in his new kingdom. This was not on the agenda. This information that they just received from Jesus. They never expected that he would suffer and die. Wow! They felt that they had reason to be upset. They were visibly shaken. So Peter confronted Jesus, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that can never be." This was serious, a terrible moment. But Jesus stood firm. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." And then Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll show you how." Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. Jesus said, "My way to finding yourself, your true self." Deep truth. Self-sacrifice is the way, the Jesus way to finding yourself and your true self. Now, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote as follows. He said, "When Jesus calls us, he beseeches us to come and die." That's what it means to this very day, to me, to be a true Christian. Through Christ, we gain strength and we die to the fears that keep us from loving, following, and serving. We gain courage to die to the selfishness that keeps us from sharing our gifts. We learn to die to seeking only our own success and our own salvation, while disregarding the good of all God's people. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is God's promise that if we die with Christ, we will also rise with Christ as new creations to be God's children, living, loving, and worshiping together, caring about one another, not only about ourselves, and discovering what it means to be fully human. That was the critical moment for disciples. They faced a difficult, critical choice. And you know what? So do all Christians through the ages to this very day. Every day in our daily lives, the questions seem to come up. Should I follow Christ? Or should I try to work out some sort of a compromise here? Should we be satisfied with being chicken chow mein or act with a faith that really means something? Folks, no two ways about it. Following Jesus is simply not always a rosy path. It is never a road to compromises. Being faithful and true to what you truly believe can be costly, it can be unpopular, and it can be even dangerous, even in our times. It can cost you your popularity, it can reduce your profits if you dare to be honest in the business world. And in this harsh, cruel, and unfair world, many people have discovered what the cost of discipleship really is. It cost them in earthly things, often dearly. The joy and the result of discipleship is not only joy, there's often pain. There's often realities that we need to face. There's also always choices that we need to make every day, really. Well, it's not only a cost in discipleship. It's also joy. Undiluted joy. Following Jesus is the journey on a path freely chosen after counting the cost. It is worth the price. So Jesus challenged his followers to make God's ways also their ways then and our ways today. That's one dream that I've carried in my heart for so many years. Often preached about it in overseas, Africa, Holland. I still believe that God is with us and will be with us into the future. I still believe that we as Christians can and should and must do something to make God's ways our ways. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe that God's people will and shall overcome someday. We have a suffering world. Terrible things are happening all around us across the world. We carry a message of redemption, a message of hope, a message of a better world. When God makes a residence in our hearts, in our lives, in this church, when we become aware of God's presence. It was during the 80s, while I was a pastor of a church just outside Amsterdam, about 18 kilometers in the Netherlands. And amongst our parishioners in those days were many who actually risked their lives during the Second World War by hiding Jewish people in their homes to save them from the Nazi butchers. I will never forget the occasions that I had just to sit with them in their residences. Some of them lived on riverboats at that time, and how they told me story after story of the hunger winter when they had to steal a few potatoes just to stay alive, and how the Nazis just simply rained misery on them. And they lived through a time when pastors and priests who refused to collaborate with the Nazi regime were actually arrested, tortured, and sent to concentration camps, mostly to die a horrible death of starvation and shame. And the internationally known Dutch pastor, the Reverend Jacobus Overduin, suffered horrible years of imprisonment, humiliation and pain. But he survived, and when he got back to his home after the war, he weighed only 70 pounds. His body was broken, but his spirit was undiminished. And I was privileged to see and meet and greet him, hear him in person. It was only 18 months before he passed away. And hear how he personally told about his experiences in the Dachau concentration camp. And we asked him what made him willing to choose martyrdom rather than compromise with the Nazis. This is what he actually said. There comes a time in all our lives when we are challenged to choose whether we really want to follow Jesus. Overdeen said, mine came the moment when I heard the heavy Nazi boots outside our front door. And he discovered that in times of tyranny and injustice, the only legitimate place that Christians should be is indeed in prison, in slave camps, side by side with those who suffer. What is the message in this enlightened, so-called enlightened world of ours? Well, many things will change, but God's word is a sure foundation. It will never change. Jesus still says, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. Jesus said, I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me. And then comes the promise, I will show you how. Follow Jesus and you will have a companion. And time and again, in a time of decision and sacrifice, he set the example. And his promise is, I will show you how. Amen.